Okay, dear sister, here is the second recording that I'm making for you so that we can keep them separate. Okay, so the question you have is, does God talk with everyone, all believers or not? Great question. Number two, is it wrong, unbelief, to expect him to talk? The answer is absolutely not. I'm going to tell you what would be wrong is if you do not expect God to talk to you. Look at the principle here in Hebrews 11:6. It is impossible to please God without faith, right? What is faith? The Bible's definition of faith comes from five verses earlier, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Okay? So then now we know what the definition is. It's being sure of what you hope for in God and absolutely certain that it will happen even though you cannot see it. That's faith, okay? God is pleased when you and I live and act in such a way that our actions declare he is real and he exists and he is faithful in spite of the fact that we cannot see him. Say, for example, that you had children, and let's say that your children were taken away to a faraway place. And yet when you looked in on them via a video camera, you began to see that even though they cannot see you, Persis, you discover something amazing. They are still continuing to behave just the way they did in your home, the way you trained them, and you see them even correcting themselves. Ah, our mommy would not want us doing this. We need to change this. Tell me you would not be more blessed by 100-fold to have this video camera access that your kids didn't know. They didn't know that they were being watched by you. But they knew that you would find out somehow, and they wanted to honor you, and they were essentially behaving on faith that you would see, that you would know, and that you would be pleased if you actually saw them. Imagine that, how pleased you would be if you saw this, right? How much more is the Heavenly Father pleased when the Bible says no one has seen God except the one whom God has sent, Jesus, to testify and make him known, right? So when nobody has seen God, and yet you live in such a way that you know he sees you, is that not pleasing to the Father? Is he not delighted? And what does it say, Hebrews 11:6? It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone that comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. I will tell you, my experience is that the greatest reward of God is his presence and his communicating with you. I have said to the Father on many occasions, Persis, that I can live without any good circumstances in my life. I can live without a future wife. I could live without even ever seeing my children again. But I have said to the Father, what I cannot live without is without his presence and his guidance. That if the Lord were to take away his guidance and speaking to me and his presence, my perceiving him being with me at all times, I am doomed, and I cannot live the Christian life apart from that. I cannot go through what I have been through apart from that. I need the Lord to speak. Yes, I believe that God desires to speak to all believers, to answer your first question, but I do not believe that he does. And the reason is because Christians today allow obstacles in God's way, and they run from God. There are so many. We have to qualify, you know, what does it mean to be a Christian? There are those who claim the name of Christ but have a relationship with Christianity, not with God. There are those who claim the name of Christ, and yet Titus 1:6 says they claim to know him, but they deny him by their actions. So I don't think most people that call themselves Christians are hearing from God. If they were hearing anything, it would be Jesus saying to them, go and sin no more, or else something worse may happen to you. Just as he told the man at the pool of Bethesda after he found him again, healing him from a 38-year-long illness. So I think God would like to speak to all Christians, And I think God does attempt to for most. Yes. On the other hand of this thing, I think God is speaking a lot more than what Christians are listening. I think that a man named A.W. Tozer, who I've studied a great deal about, he says that the number one difference he sees between people that hear from God regularly and enjoy sweet fellowship with God and those who do not is spiritual receptivity. Say, for example, you have a radio in your house and your radio requires an antenna. If you were to break that antenna off, you lose the ability for it to receive a good, clear signal. It's no longer so receptive to the invisible radio waves that are all around us. With a good antenna and then extended out, pulled out, it's able to receive all of the information that's around us and hear it. See, the radio waves are invisible to the human eye and they're invisible, are inaudible to the human ear. But this radio system has a special receiver in it, and it's able to discern in the air these radio waves and then convert it into usable, intelligent information. I think it's the same thing that happens. In fact, a radio at one point in time is probably receiving hundreds of different radio signals, and all together it's just noise, right? So imagine if you could hear all the radio stations playing in the world at one time, it would just drive you crazy. But a radio has the ability to receive a single signal. It has the ability, it's quite astonishing, to block out all other noise, all other radio transmissions, and tune in to hear this one message, this one signal. And I think that a Christian hearing from God could be compared very much to what a radio must do in order to receive a clear signal that can be beneficial to the owner of the radio. There is so much noise in the Christian life. There's so much noise in this world. I mean, think about, as we talked about in your email, all the different voices that are trying to tell you this is what Christianity is like, this is what faith is like, this is what the blessed life looks like, this is what spirit-filled life is like. And there's all this noise. And then you have just thousands of different opinions and voices, right? And then you have the world's voices. Buy this, own this, go here, come here, do this, be involved with this, have this person. All this noise. And so, be still and know that I am God is not even so much as sitting still and being very quiet as it is in having a disposition in your heart of, Father, I am yours. I want to know your very best will for my life. Speak to me. Now, supposing a Christian says, God, give me guidance. I need guidance. I need to help. But yet that Christian is not following some of the basic fundamental principles of Scripture. Let's just use one example, Matthew 6:14-15. If you forgive men when they sin against you, my heavenly Father will forgive your sins. If you do not forgive men their sins, my heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. Say, for example, a Christian has been offended by somebody in their past. And they have kind of forgotten about it. They don't live daily with the person in their mind, but they haven't really forgiven them. And when they see that person or hear about that person, they still would like to see them punished for what they've done. Well, you can know that God is not going to speak to that Christian. If that Christian claims to be hearing from God other than you need to forgive that person, you could probably know they're hearing from their own imagination or from the devil to deceive them. And this would be the same thing for somebody who loves money. For somebody who is trying to defend themselves rather than trust God. For somebody who's got a proud heart. For somebody who's not hungering really and thirsting for righteousness in their life. For somebody who has a problem with lusting in the eyes. For somebody who is whatever. And you could just go down the list of things that Jesus taught us to do or to not do. So if you're knowingly in violation of those things, you shouldn't expect to hear from God. All right? At the same time, you won't have to wait until you're obeying all of the teachings of Christ in order to hear from God. God will not wait until you're perfect before he begins to speak. Otherwise, you would never hear him, right? God will reward diligence. As he sees you diligently seeking him, understanding his word, God will begin to speak to you. The secret to having God speak to you is not in trying to have God speak to you. So many Christians have this backwards. They know they want to do the right thing, and they have some need for guidance in some area of their life. For example, your job situation or a husband situation or what have you. And so they're running to God. I need guidance. I want you to tell me what to do, right? But here's something that's missing. There's an obstacle in the way that will prevent God from being able to give that Christian good, clear guidance. There could be many things, but let me just show you the main one. If there's any area of disobedience, if there's any area of laziness, what I mean by that, spiritual laziness, where you're really just wanting better circumstances in your life, not so much wanting God, then God will delay giving you answers, because for him to give an answer or to guide you into that thing that is the desire of your heart without first delighting yourself in the Lord would be to thwart his entire purpose for creating you. If God were to give most Christians everything they're asking him for, it would completely destroy the Christian, and it would completely eradicate the whole purpose that God created man for. I one time had the Holy Spirit help me to see this question. If God gave you everything you're desiring for, how would God benefit from it? Since it's all about him, and no man can say that God owes him anything, and God created man for his own good and his own pleasure, we ask ourselves this: if God gave us exactly what we're desiring, how would God ultimately benefit? In other words, what would be the outcome of our receiving that desire of our heart? Would it take us closer and deeper into a relationship with God? Or is it more often than not likely that it would push us further away? Okay, so this is just one example of how the secret that I'm trying to get to is this. If you want God to speak to you and give you clear guidance, you have to get really busy and really focused on doing what God has already spoken. See, so many Christians want God to give them personal guidance, his personal will. Lord, what is your personal will for my life? At the expense of God's already written, revealed will. So, for example, again, as I gave you these examples, if there are scriptures and basic fundamentals that you and I are to be following and we're not following them, okay, here's the main secret. If you do, again, not obeying every single thing, but if you are making a solid attempt, Persis, at knowing the revealed will of God and putting into practice the teachings of Christ, those are the foundation, those are the first base with God, is the teachings of Jesus Christ. John 8:51, whoever keeps my word will never see death. Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Matthew 7:21 through 27. Luke 8:21, whoever hears my God's word and obeys it is my family. I mean, we could just go on and on and on and on about how important it is to obey the words of Christ. John 14:21 through 24. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father. I too will love him and show myself to him. John chapter 15. Remain in me and I will remain in you. You will remain in me if you obey my commands. God says, most important is not me hearing from God, it's me seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. Matthew 6:33. God says, if I will do this, he will do this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So many Christians, by the millions, are not doing this, Persis. And they're sitting in churches and they're listening to sermons and they're buying books, how to hear from God, and they're drawing circles in the sand of this ridiculous book, buying books on contemplative prayer, and they're buying books on this because they're not doing first base. They're not touching first base. The devil has got them spinning their wheels, trying to look for an answer here, an answer here. This guy has the answer. And I say, no, no man has the answer. Jesus Christ has the answer. Not Mike Criswell, not Zach Poonin. Jesus Christ has the answer. The words in red. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. If anyone does not love me, he will not obey my teaching. 1 Corinthians 8:3, the man who loves God is known by God. God, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Psalm 25:12-14, listen to this. You said, what Christians does God speak to? Psalm 25:12-14. Verse 12, who is the man or woman who fears the Lord? He, God, capital H, will instruct him in the way chosen for him. So here's the perfect balance between God's sovereignty and human responsibility. Okay. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Do you fear God? Do you respect him? Do you revere him? Do you want to make sure you don't get on the wrong side of him? Are you obeying his commands? These are things that tell God, heaven is your witness, this person, this young lady, this man, this person fears God. Okay? Then comes God's responsibility. When you fear God, he's saying there's a way that's already been chosen for you. How awesome is this, Persis? How awesome is this? Grab a hold of this, sister. God has already, from before time began, known his plan for you, Persis in India. He has already planned a purpose and a mission for your life. It's already been chosen. He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. Okay, so watch. Through God's knowledge, foreknowledge, predestination happens in your life. He's predetermined a plan for your life, okay? So you didn't have to ask for it. Get this, sister. You didn't have to beg God, oh God, use me. Oh God, have a plan for my life. No, it's already been determined. God has already determined a plan for your life. Now, the key is many, many Christians, God had a plan for their life and they're missing it because they're not fearing God. Who is the man or woman who fears God? He will instruct them. So the way you get God to speak to you is by fearing God, being obedient to him. And then what he does, Persis, he instructs you. What's instruction other than God speaking to you? You see? God begins to speak to you. So many Christians are trying so hard. God, I have to have clear guidance on this. God, I have to know what you want me to do. You know what my experience has been? God has never struggled. I have never had to struggle to hear from God. Okay. There's been times when I have felt a need to struggle to hear God, like, oh Lord, I really need you to give me clear guidance on this. And there's been times, I'll give you one example. One time I was staying at a friend's house. I was going through the divorce battle. I had already reached out 3 times to try to let a judge, his assistant, and another judge know I was being severely wronged, that justice was being thwarted, that there was something terrible that had happened, that the judge had actually ordered this, and the papers from my ex-wife's attorney were now saying this. There was something wrong. I tried to get help. I was denied 3 times. I was told this is highly inappropriate to contact the court or judges or whatever this way. This cannot be done. Stop. All 3 attempts I made ended in disaster, or ended without me getting anything, right? So I got on my knees, Persis, and I cried out. I said, Father, I don't know what to do. God, I don't know what to do. Lord, I've obeyed you with everything I have. I don't know if I'm supposed to keep pestering this judge, Lord. Or what? Your word says in the parable of the unjust judge, it teaches about a widow who kept going to the judge. But Lord, I know that that's just an example of worldliness. That's not the point of the principle. The point of the principle is to keep bugging you. Because it says, will God not bring about justice for those who cry out to him day and night? Yes, he will see that they get justice and get it quickly. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And so I said, Lord, what shall I do? I don't know. Persis, while I'm on my knees praying, God, the Holy Spirit, speaks to me a verse of scripture. All I hear is 1 Peter 5:12. That's it. 1 Peter 5:12. And I look it up and I'm like, it says, I have written to you briefly testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. And then the Holy Spirit gave custom meaning to what the scripture meant for me and gave me meaning. And immediately the Holy Spirit says to me, just stand. You don't need to contact the judge anymore. Just wait. Just trust me. I will fight this battle. I will finish it. Well, God did such an unbelievable job doing this. It's a story that saves people's lives today, right? In that very moment, I desperately needed to hear from God, and God spoke to me. That's a very rare exception. My great experience of hearing from God is that I'll be in the middle of the woods motor mouthing to God, walking, just talking to the Father. I enjoy my intimacy with the Lord best when I'm expressing myself with my words. You see, I'm very wordy. I'm very verbose. It's how God made me, right? So it's the same way in my relationship with God. Another person may appreciate more silent time with the Lord. I feel connection. So for example, I will make wonderful connection with my future wife by having communication with her. What most women are missing from their own husbands is the very thing that I desire, connection. So I feel connected to the Father when I'm speaking to Him. And I don't do a lot of, well, I'm going to just be quiet. I've tried it. It doesn't work for me. It just doesn't work for me, right? And you know what I found? It doesn't need to work for me because God is able to interrupt me, bingo, in the middle of my prayer. I have a recording recently of where a man has reached out to me. He's in a major crisis, in a lot of pain. And I should share this with you, actually. I was at the end of the call with the guy, and I decided I would pray for him. Persis, while I'm praying, I pray, Father, I'm asking you to speak to this man. I'm asking you to give him a word, to let him know that you're with him. This is a man who had got himself in a great deal of mess, but he was so humble, and I was so proud of this brother for humbling himself and wanting direction from God. And as I'm praying for him, Persis, God speaks to me a word for him. Okay? So I'm praying in the prayer. I say, oh God, I'm asking you, Father, to speak to him. Well, as I'm going about my prayer, God speaks to him through me and gives me a word. And I say, brother, I have to stop this prayer. I have to tell you what I just heard from the Lord. I need to share something with you. God just spoke a word to me for you. And Persis, unbeknownst to me, the guy is recording this conversation because he was so desperate for encouragement. And he would go to sleep listening to one of my videos. He would go to sleep every night listening to it because he was in so much pain and so afraid. And so he would later tell me that Michael, I was recording this conversation. And I said, brother, send it to me. It's a testimony of God's faithfulness. Let me have it. So he sent it to me. But in this recording, you hear me tell him what God just spoke to me, right? And then when I say it to him, he flips out. He says, Mike, you're not going to believe this. This just happened to me last night, what you just said. And there was no way you could have known this, basically. So he knew that God was in fact speaking to him a word. God gave me insight into what he needed, not having any idea the details of his situation, right? Now, here's my point. God spoke to me that word while I was talking. Do you see? This happens a lot. I'll just be praying to God, and all of a sudden there'll be this knowing come into my heart. It's not from my own imagination. It's not me reasoning something. See, people want to know, how can I know if it's God or me? One time I was dating this one woman, while I had been divorced. I've dated one woman. And I had known that God was telling me I was compromising, that he wanted me to wait for his very best. But I kept so much wanting. I had such a strong desire for companionship and to have a future wife that I was having a hard time not using human reasoning. And I was still wanting so much to hear that this was going to be okay, that this relationship was going to work out. And one time I was sitting on a swing and I was just praying and I'm waiting and I wrote on a piece of paper and I felt like what God had told me is, just wait. I'm working in her just like I am you. And I tell you something, the reason why I felt that is because a person had spoken a false word to me. This guy had said to me, you are going to get back together with your girlfriend. I mean, he said it so boldly. The Lord has told me this. Now, I subsequently have discovered that he was not hearing from God, obviously, right? But because I was still susceptible, this was 3.5 years ago, because I was still susceptible to what I wanted people to tell me, I heard a lie. And you can see how the devil was setting this whole thing up. He used a person who may have had good intentions. I have no doubt their intentions were good. They were probably trying to encourage me when my heart was hurting. But they spoke out of turn something from their own imagination, okay? Their own imagination. This is a terrible thing to have happen. The Bible warns about this, that there's prophets that falsely prophesy. God has not called them to speak, and they speak out of their own corrupt imagination. Then my own corrupt imagination built in a moment of darkness a word for myself from my own imagination. And I felt for sure I heard God say, just wait. And trust me on this, I'm working in her just like I did you. You see, God, I was being set up by the devil to believe a false word when God had been trying to tell me the whole time, Michael, this one is not for you. You chose her just like you chose your first wife. I did not choose this relationship for you. You need to wait upon my best. And God spoke this word to me. Which of you fathers, if his son asks for a fish, would give him a snake? And finally, God woke my eyes up. He opened my eyes to help me to see that you do not ask God for his very best and then only believe him for a fixer-upper. Matthew 7:11, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children when they ask, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask, right? So here God was showing me, you've just heard from yourself, not from me. And it took me a couple of days to get this. And I tell you, it was so humbling. That's one of the best examples I can tell you where I thought I was hearing from God, but it was my own imagination. When you hear from God, it comes almost as a complete full download. There's no guessing as to whether or not it was from God. You see, I can't find a single place in Scripture where it says that the Holy Spirit made known to them, or God spoke to them in a vision, or God said to me this. And there's multiple ways God speaks. But I can't find any in there where people were confused about it. It's not confusing when you hear from God. One time I'm in 2001-2002 area, early 2002, right before the gym is going to collapse. And I don't realize that this thing is going to end in destruction. I'm fighting for it in faith, my first business. And I'm having a conversation with my mentor at the time. Her name was Margie. And she was an owner of the gym in Ocala. And I hang up the phone with her and I'm telling her how hard things are and court battles and please, you know, help me in faith and all that stuff. And I hang up the phone with her after she says to me, Michael, God's not going to drop you like a hot potato. We're not going to let the devil take this from you. Everything's going to be great. You just hang in there, right? You just keep hanging in there. As soon as I hung up the phone with her purses, I'm walking. I can remember exactly where I'm at. I'm walking on the sidewalk, the curb, and I hear God say to me, it's going to get worse before it gets better. But do not be afraid. I am in control, and this is about your character development. Purses, I've never had to write that down. I've never had to think about what that is. Those words were so clear and burned so hot into my soul. You know that God has spoken. You see, I could tell you many, many, many examples like this. And it never has been that I've had to sit and wait for God to speak to me. If you get so busy, listen, if you get so busy doing what God has asked you to do already written in his word, God will begin to speak to you more than you can even imagine. He'll so bless you and anoint you. And what does it say in Psalm 23? He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, how can he guide you in paths of righteousness if he doesn't give you instruction? And I'll tell you another little tip that comes to me. Recognize that typically in the beginning, God usually tells us things that we do not want to hear. So people say, how do I know if I'm hearing from God or from the Holy Spirit? In the beginning, many, many times, God will speak things to you that you do not necessarily want to hear. And it usually will contradict your understanding. So you'll be like, huh? So for example, one time I'm walking down the sidewalk after my divorce has happened and I'm tears streaming down my face and I'm so devastated. I've lost all of my money, my family, my business, everything's imploded. I have $26 in my checking account purses. $26 in my checking account. All right. And as I'm walking down, I'm having visions of me in that story. You see me holding the check for $250,000. That was the year that I made $700,000. And I'm sitting there in realizing I'm doomed. I'm destroyed. I'm washed up. I'm never going to be useful to God ever again. I have just $26 in my checking account for 3 days. This is all the money I have. How is this possible? And I'm saying, God, I'm washed up. How is this possible? How did I get here? I'll never be useful to you ever again. While I'm saying this, Persis, while I'm saying this, God speaks to me. You are far more useful to me right now with $26 in your checking account than you ever were with the $250,000. See, I wasn't even able to understand what God was saying. I couldn't possibly understand how could that be that I could be more useful to God with $26. My brain wasn't understanding God's ways. I was still leaning on my own understanding. God had so much to teach me, so much to teach me. Oh, I feel sorry for my old self. You see? So that's something that God spoke that I was not really wanting to hear. I was glad to hear from God, but it wasn't something I was wanting to hear and something I really understand. I'll give you one more example. God aligned a set of circumstances to help me begin to realize that He wanted me not to fight this divorce, that He wanted me to practice Matthew 5:39. Do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right, turn to them the left. So God did some, He used one person to get me to kind of pay attention. And then God providentially directed me 2 days in a row to the exact same passage of scripture. So a man speaks to me a principle from a passage in 2 Samuel, or rather in 1 Samuel. And then the very next day, as God would have it, my Bible study, as I turned the page in keeping with how my reading schedule was, there was that same exact passage. So already God has my attention, right? I'm going, this is not a coincidence. This is an act of divine providence, God guiding me to His word, okay? As soon as I turn the page and I begin to meditate on it, I hear this instruction into my heart. I want you to fire your attorney and trust me to defend you. I will do this in a highly unusual way that will bring me much glory, and it will not be because you had a better attorney. That's all He said. Now, that completely contradicts human understanding. My 5 children are on the line. My financial future is on the line. Everything is on the line. So this completely contradicts human understanding. God is telling me to do something that's very scary, that does not make sense to anybody around, but yet lines up exactly with what Scripture says. That Jesus Christ Himself, when He was accused, when He was spit upon, when He was beat upon, when He was dragged into court, the Bible said, led like a sheep to the slaughter, He was silent before His shearers. And instead of retaliating or arguing back, He remained silent and entrusted Himself to the one who judges justly. Praise God. So God was speaking to me. So there again, a lot of things that I did not want to hear. Why is this? Because God's number one priority for us is not to speak to us to make us happy, healthy, wealthy, comfy, and all of that. God's number one priority, He's in the heart restoration business. Restoring our heart to pre-fall state by the blood, the power, and the grace of Jesus Christ. Okay, so you can know that as you begin a relationship with God, Hebrews 12 is going to be your first most likely experience disciplining, not punishing, disciplining. God wants, if you've been out of line, sure, he'll bring punishment. But God wants to discipline you and teach you character development. And so that's why when you hear from God, it's not, I'm going to bless you with a great house. I'm going to bless you with a great wife. I'm going to bless you with great kids. I'm going to bless you with a great job. No, it's not usually those things. It's usually, I want you to set that down. I want you to stop thinking that way. I want you to deny yourself in this relationship. I want you to avoid these people. I want you to start doing this. It's usually things that have to do with disciplining yourself, growing you more into Jesus Christ. In and of itself, this is a test. Will you obey me when it doesn't make sense or when it's costly? Matthew 16, 24 through 27, I tell you, if anyone comes after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. Now, I will tell you this, sister, and I'm going to tell you, I have a hard time. Woo! I have a hard time saying this to you without getting emotional, is that if you will obey the Father, if you will obey the Father, and show him sacrifice that so few Christians do persist. So few Christians want to obey God and are willing to suffer for Jesus because they have been lied to. They have poor understanding. And all they can think and desire is, I got to have comfort in this life. Sister, if you will obey God, the time will come when whatever sacrifice he asks you now, you won't ever be able to say you've made a sacrifice. Because he will bless you so much in your heart. He will bless you so much in your heart. For me to try to describe to people what it feels like to have the fullness of joy in your heart, an inexpressible glorious joy. Persis, God speaks to me every single day, multiple times a day about different things. Persis, he tells me about things that are going to happen before they happen. He gives me clear guidance. I can tell you, sister, he gives me clear guidance in situations, and I'll say, Lord, I don't even know what that means. How does that apply? And what I discover is that God has spoken a word to me before something happens in the future. And then when the thing in the future happens, I realize God has already told me. God has already told me about it before it happens. You understand how unbelievable that is? And I live this way every day, Persis. It's why I have this obnoxious joy. And this is what is available. And so let me tell you something. You can get to this place. It takes faith and patience, sister, and you have to be willing typically to go through a lot. And not very many people want to pay this price, I will tell you. Most people can only take a certain amount of pain and they say, that's it, I'm out. And they don't know how to cry out to God for grace and to have their soul refreshed. Okay, I'm trying to make this main point, and if I can, I've gone long. I pray this somehow or another this blesses you. I'm so sorry for going so long. I've been just trying to speak out of my heart as I felt led to share this with you. But again, I want to make this main point. If I can make this main point crystal clear, if you don't hear anything else I've said, hear this. Your responsibility as a Christian is single fold. It is primarily to stay attached to the vine. John 15 is the ultimate secret to the Christian life, abiding in the vine, okay? So you make your focus in life and your goal and your dream is to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you do this through faith, childlike dependence upon him, and obedience to his words, right? So you're humbly dependent, you have the faith to believe God can keep you, and you do your part by obeying and asking for God's grace, and he'll give it to you, okay? It's that simple, right? It's that simple. It's like Jesus when he tells the parable, the sower. He says the good seed stands for those who hear the word of God, retain the word of God, and by persevering produce a good crop. Hear, retain, persevere. That's the essence of the Christian life. You hear the word. I've been speaking God's word to you. You retain it. You listen to it over and over again. You get it in your heart. You memorize it. And you persevere in it. Not just hearing it, but in doing it. And you persevere through testing, through darkness, through discouragement, through despair. You persevere. And then comes a good crop. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. However... Later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. Oh my goodness. Oh, Hebrews chapter 12, okay? So be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ and expect Him. Expect Him, Persis, to speak to you. God is not a God of favoritism. I said to you, He delights in you. You are one of His precious daughters. He delights in you. He delights in you. You simply need to delight yourself in Him through obedience, and God will give you the desire of your heart. I pray this blesses you. If you have any more questions specifically about God speaking, if I didn't cover something that you really are interested in knowing about, please, by all means, let me know. And if I have the answer, I'll share it with you. And I know that God is pleased with you and blessing you. And He will take you places you've never imagined if you'll just continue to obey Him. God bless you, sister. Bye-bye.